the first column, and the words are in the middle of Sefer Pei. And the words are Ube'emek Yosef. And to understand this concept even more deeply, HaKlal she'etzem ube'elam v'eru begili v'biyachas la'zulas. She'kevin she'ni yachal l'kabel la'etzem el la'adam imenu buvad, lachin kere la'ara er ula'etzem helam cheshech. Av biyachas la'etzem arezu la'hefech. She'ara hi cheshech l'gabi la'etzem she'hi ha'er. From the perspective of somebody relating to this essence, the essence is in a state of concealment, and the only thing I could possibly grasp is an external emanation from the essence. So to me, the external emanation is light, because that is something I could perceive, the viewer can perceive, and the essence is darkness. But from the perspective of the essence, it's the exact opposite is true. The emanation, in relative to the essence, the emanation is nothing. That's darkness. That's nothing compared to itself. So, in other words, if you had to use the terminology light and darkness, even though light doesn't adequately define the essence from its own perspective either, the essence is light and the emanation is darkness. That far removed, finite expression. Mizemovin, when this is understood, It comes out like this, that as long as, when do we say that there has to be a diminishing, a decrease of light in order to attain the essence? As long as that which is trying to grasp and attain the essence is outside of the essence, is a separate entity, a separate being, a separate existence which is trying to grasp the essence. Something which has an outside perspective, and therefore it has to, and so to it, the light is light, and the essence is darkness, and it has to go away from the light in order to get closer to the essence. But when the Mekabel becomes so unified with the Mashpia, to the point that it becomes one and the same with the Mashpia, it is no longer a separate entity, it has become completely unified, that they no longer relate to each other in the form of Mashpia and Mekabel, but rather as one equal, as both are equal, that the son of the moon will be like the son of the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. That is when the essence is revealed. Because the whole process of becoming less and less is only when it's a separate entity, a separate existence. So based on that, Pisa Yeshlema, Shemir Te'er B'chatzi Hasheni Shel Achedish, any element bedarga shall err ha'orabul vad mepnei akirav la'etzem shalomayla me'or avol loy mir behagilui kivin she'etzem bo meisav bizgalus. So what is like this? There's two aspects that there is to light. There is the element of light that light is represents revelation. And then there is the fact that light is nothing more than an emanation from its source. It's not an independent entity. It's nothing more than an emanation from its source. So we're saying like this. This, that when the moon is getting closer to the sun, in other words, it's becoming more unified with the sun, that the light is getting less. What we're saying, that what's getting less is the emanation quality of the light is getting less. Because it's getting closer to essence, and therefore there is less emanation. But the revelation quality of light is not real diminishing. What is diminishing is, in other words, light has two elements. The fact that it's revelation, and the fact that it's nothing more than an emanation from its source. So when we say that the light of the moon is diminishing, when it gets closer to the sun, what's diminishing is the fact is the chesaron of Ur, kibuyach. The chesaron of Ur, which is the fact that it's nothing more than an emanation. But the union of Gilui, the union of revelation, is not becoming less. Because in fact, as you get closer to the essence is becoming more revealed. So there's an increase in revelation. You're having a higher revelation, the revelation of the essence. Shalach and Halach and the taste of Baminion, Shemeru Madgish is Galus Adova, the Machedish. The Zayn Yitzayn Yud Cheskul Ayidei B'nei Yisrael. That's why the number is continues to increase. Which, what is the idea of, the, of a number? A number means that there is a larger quantity. In other words, that, that the revelation, that the Chiddush, Chiddush, the Inyan of Chiddush, whatever is, the Gili of Chiddush is ever increasing. There's more of it. And therefore, the Jewish people continue to count the days of the month increasing, because the inyan of Hizgalus that there is in the Chodesh, that is increasing, even though the inyan of Ur, in terms of Ur as an emanation, is on the decrease. Because we're having an ever greater increase of revelation of the essence, which is higher than the revelation of light. So it doesn't mean that there's a lesser revelation. There's less a light, but there's a greater revelation because we're getting more of the revelation of the essence, which is higher than light. So the revelation aspect is increasing. It's the light that's decreased.
I mean, this whole time I'm thinking of a mashal. I can't really figure out the mashal that he's giving with Ha'ara and Giloy, but I'm thinking in terms of the brachas, right? We said there are brachas that are begiloy, and then there are brachas that are behelim, but they're even greater than the brachas that are begiloy, right? They come out like klalos, right? So I don't know.
Okay. You have a marshal now by this issue. You have the Indian of the fact that in earlier generations we know that the hearts and minds of the Jewish people were on a much higher level. Because people had a much higher grasp of godliness and godly ideas, and they experienced godly emotions on a much higher level. So what happens is like this. And we know that there's a rule that the generations get progressively lower. So in the rule that the generations get progressively lower, what's getting progressively lower? This higher level, this level of awareness, of sensitivity, understanding, and emotional connection with godliness is ever decreasing. Now, yet we say, what's the purpose of the generations getting lower and lower? Is, we explained in the last sikha, that the essence of the neshama becomes more revealed. One of the ways that this is expressed is the fact that the Jews, and later on in Golos, exhibit far greater levels of mesiras nefesh than the Jews earlier on in Golos, earlier on, who had much higher minds and hearts. In other words, what's happening here is when we say that the light, okay, we describe the goals as becoming progressively darker. Why we describe it as becoming progressively darker? Because there's less and less light. When we say that there's less and less light, what we mean to say is that light, you know, it's the classical way of relating to God in a world where the essence is concealed. Is through godly revelation, through understanding and emotion, through developing appreciation and understanding for God, and connecting to Him through that. So the light gets less. But that light is the light of Giluyim,
right.
Which means by definition only an external emanation, because understanding and grasping is only related to finite aspects of godliness. However, the Giloy, in other words, the revelation of the essential bond between God and the Jewish people is increasing, not decreasing. So when we say that the generations are getting darker and darker, that each progressive generation in Golos, we call it darker than the generation before, what we mean is that there's less of these Iris and Giluyim. But because of that, there's a greater revelation. There's a revelation of something far greater than that, which is the essential bond between a Jew and the Eibishter. So we're saying like this, in terms of the quality of the revelation, the quality of the revelation is not getting less. The quality or even the quantity of revelation is getting more. The nature of revelation is different. It's not in the form of light. It's not in the form of light. It's not in the form of awareness and understanding, which generally is compared to light. But it's in the form of essence.
How do you say the quantity is more when the quality changes? What's your basis of comparison?
In other words, there's more. In other words, because understanding is finite. And Mesiras Nefesh is infinite.
That's a function of the quality also. I mean, that's a function of the quality of the revelation.
It's both quality and quantity. Infinity is both quantitatively and qualitatively different. So what we're saying is, it's just what's being revealed is something which is higher than light. So when we say that the light is getting less, we don't mean that the degree of revelation is getting less. What we mean is that the light is getting less. It's just there is less light, but there's not less revelation. There's a far greater revelation. There's less light, there's less awareness, there's less sensitivity and awareness and appreciation for godliness, but there's... In other words, which is relating to the most external aspects of godliness, and there's a much deeper and greater essential bond and connection which extends to Mesiras Nefesh and devotion and commitment, which is connecting on a much deeper level, relating to the essence. It's becoming more revealed.
Here we're talking about the Hiskalos of the Etzim, which is Behelim.
Yeah.
Chassidus talks about Mashiach comes, there's going to be a Giloy of Hahelam Ha'atzmi.
But
is that the same thing?
Generally speaking.
But this Helam Ha'atzmi, this is of Hashem. The light is from the sun, is it from the sun?
Right. The sun and the moon represent the different types of Giloyim that come from the Eivish. There's Giloyim that come from the Eivish, the Bederach Mashpia. And it's Giluyim that come from the Eimshav Derech Mekabel. In the Seder of Giluyim, of Ha'aris and Giluyim, there's Eiris and Kalim, there's Mashpia and Mekabel. But ultimately, the function of Eiris and Kalim, the function of Mashpia and Mekabel, is all ultimately to reveal one and the same truth. God Himself, who is neither a Mashpia or a Mekabel or an Eir or a Kali or any of those things, or spiritual or material, He's none of those things. Is the source of all of those. He's not even the source of all of those things, but all of those things originate from him. So the point is that, so when we say the revelation is always increasing, qualitatively or quantitatively, it is the nature of the revelation that's changing. It's not external emanations, it's not in the form of light, but in the form or formlessness of essence. Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying here. The diminishing of light, the diminishing is only in terms of light. There's less light. But it doesn't mean that there's less godliness revealed in the world. There's much more. And that's why we keep counting 16, 17, 18, 19. Because whatever godliness is brought into the world through the Chiddush of the Levana is ever increasing, not decreasing.
The only thing is the Gilui Ha'etzim expresses itself not as in other words, it's funny that you use the word Giloy because really it's dark.
No.
Right?
No. In other words, the Mesiras Nefesh, right? Mesiras Nefesh, we call Gilui Yechidah Shem Nefesh.
Right.
Why do we call it a Gilui? A Gilui is a new insight, a new awareness, a new... We say that B'Shas Maisa. The Nefesh says it's possible that B'Shas Maisa, the guy could do a different sin.
Right.
While he's waiting to die for not to be over, he could do a different sin. So what's Gilui? No Gilui here. It's something is being expressed which is higher than a Gilui, which is higher than a light. It's not an illumination, it's not a new awareness, not a new insight. It's something being expressed which is not luminescent. It is, but and yet it's being expressed.
Right.
So it's being expressed almost in negative terms.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
Right. The sikha, last sikha that I've explained, that's not the ultimate gilui ha'atzim. The ultimate gilui, so Mesiras Nefesh is not the ultimate gilui ha'atzim, because Mesiras Nefesh is still in negative terms. The true revelation of the essence is when godliness is life itself. It's the way the child looks at it. The Torah mitzvah is godliness, it's life itself. It's not, he sees in everything. Davishta and what Davishta wants, and this is he doesn't differentiate between high things and low things, and so the ultimate revelation of the essence is when it's so natural that it's not an awareness, not an insight. To us, we're looking for insight. Right? You learn something, you got a new insight. It's exciting. Your mind, a burst of insight,
like
of luminescence in your brain. You wake up.
It's like a
Gishma. Right? But Chassidus says. But that's still not the essence. The essence is the most essential geschmack, if you want, is the geschmack of being. So all the pursuits of the whole various kinds of pleasure of doing of trying to understand inside, it's all running. It's all missing the boat. It's all missing that all of that is supposed to lead up to the ultimate. It's not an awareness. You need to have awareness, otherwise you miss out on it. In order to appreciate what you have to have awareness. So awareness is serving, understanding is serving your being. You have to be aware of your being in order to appreciate it. The child doesn't appreciate what he has. That's why it's very easy for him to lose it and become a yeld of an adult, like every other adult fool, because he doesn't appreciate what he has. An adult, somebody who knows what it's like to not have it, who knows what it's like to not have it, can have a far greater appreciation of what it is to have it. So you need that awareness. You need to have gone through the whole experience of Golos and so on and so forth. And experience the darkness in order to appreciate. But the ultimate revelation of the essence is not, the best marshal we have for it is Mesiras Nefesh, giving up your life. But that's not the true experience of the essence. The true experience of the essence is just the sense of being godly and seeing everything and seeing everything, yourself and everything else, is nothing more than an extension of God.
Why is Mesiras Nefesh used as as a marshal for expression of the essence?
Because it was the closest thing we had until Geula.
Why is it? What about Mesiras Nefesh expresses that?
Mesiras Nefesh expresses the essential bond between a Jew and the Eved that even though there's no logical or emotional or intellectual or he has no even desire, the person has no desire for godliness, no intellectual attachment, no feelings for it, no anything. Is ready to die for it. It means that it's something he has been touched at some primal level that's so deep and so essential that it's totally not a part of his conscious life.
Right.
And yet it's so powerful that it overrides all other concerns and issues and calculations. I mean, that's it. It's not a question. So that means you tapped something essential. So the closest we had to tapping the essence is giving up your life. But the Rebbe says that's not what it's about. The Rebbe says now living the essence means living that everything is eloquence. To do everything with the same geschmack and chesidus, vaymkeit and chesidus, chayas and geschmack in every place and everything and every time. living it, that this is it. This is it. This is God. This is where it's at. It's not somewhere else. Our whole world is, this is not godly, that is godly. This is not a godly time, that is a godly time. This is not a godly place, that is a godly place. The whole point is to live with and even in the places where the chiv is not to think words of Torah. As the Rebbe says, there's times when you can't even think words of Torah. For Negavasi, for Berchus HaTorah, not even think words of Torah. So he's just living with the awareness that my whole life has given over to the Rebbe. It's not a contradiction. The way he expresses his being given over to the Rebbe is by not thinking words of Torah. There's no difference. My whole being is being connected to the Rebbe. In this place, I express my connection to the Rebbe by, thinking words of Torah. And at that place, I express my connection to the Rebbe by not thinking words of Torah. It's all the same. Yeah, Torah, not Torah. Yeah, it's all the same. It's all about being one with the Rebbe. That's it. So you live through every time and every experience and every situation, even though they call for totally different responses and different activities. And sometimes you have to use your mind, and sometimes you have to use your heart, and sometimes you have to use... Every one of these things are all... It's not, the mind is a higher faculty, the heart is a lower faculty. It's all the same. It's not an expression of the reality of God. So I don't have... that's it. When I learn Torah, when I think about the highest concepts, is that's the one we're expressing God. And when I go push it, give somebody, the Rebbe says, provide for somebody's physical needs. Right? Most people, right, you're going to shul, going to daven, right? So you feel like, I'm going to daven. You're all inspired. You're all spiritual. You're going to daven. And you prepared for it, and you went to the mikveh, and you learned something, and you're going to daven. Some schnara sticks his hand in your face. So you pull out your diamond, you give it to me, you're going to daven, I mean, right? So what you're communicating is that by you, the davening is, davening, you're giving this guy his quarters, okay, listen, you know what I mean? Is it a nuisance to be tolerated or anything? No. If everything you're doing is, if everything is God and everything is nothing but an expression of God, then why is you going to daven any more significant than you're giving him the quarter? In fact, there's a mice with the Tzemach Tzedek the other way, that by going to give the guy the money before the davening. So why by going to give the guy the money before the davening? Because the mile of doing, you see him that the mile of doing a teva for a Jew. It's not just that. You see him that the mile of not seeing what God wants in everything. Seeing living your connection to God in everything, in every situation, and not setting one before the other. And if anything, if I have to choose, then my God, if I'm forced to choose between one and the other, then certainly I'm going to put the other person either before my own spiritual activity or my own spiritual, because that's what God wants. So what's happening is that everything for God. Most people are missing out on the boat. They don't realize that the whole process of Golos is that God and his connection to the Jewish people are becoming more revealed all the time. It's what we call godliness. It's what we call godly revelation, godly illumination that's becoming less and less. But the connection between God and the Jewish people and the accessibility of God to the Jewish people is increasing all the time. And that's why you have Kabbalah, and then you have Chassidus, and then you have Chabad, and then you have each generation. And it's getting more and more, not less and less. But the fact that on the outside it's getting darker and darker is because we're moving past light. Light is not the issue. We're trying to connect to the Eved to himself, not to light. There was a time when the Eved was in light. Now we've gone past the light. Now we're connected to the Eved to himself. So the revelation of the Eved to himself is increasing more and more. So revelation is on the increase. Therefore, even at the end of the month, when we're counting the month, we keep going. The light is getting less. But revelation is getting more. It's just not through the normal channels and vehicles of light. Okay.
So Kim Sois is less transcendent, it appears. It's less transcendent, it's less mocky, even it's more panimi. It appears, the chayra, from the whole thing.
Right. In other words, the essence, which in and of itself is completely transcendent, and yet I mean, well, the Rebbe explains, that's the whole mind of Atta Tetzaru, where the Rebbe says that the essence is no more makif than it is primi. The essence is the essence of everything.
Here it's come.
We experience it as makif, but it's really,
why when Yossi asked the thing,
it's really in all places.
So from Mesiris Nefesh, for what was before, it was an Indian of that you had to transcend and go to this stuff, and now you don't have it. So the problem that you can see in this is we've always been taught in Chassidus that the closer you get to the essence, the less he's pilots. The less he's pilots. Because the closer you get to essence, there's less espilus. There's less espilus, so the drawback, as it appears in the physical world, is there's less action. Because if there's less espilus, not that it should be. But why? Because since that, you don't have to do that transcendency. You have to do that mysterious nefesh. So the person feels his closest, so he doesn't seem to appear to have the same active action to him.
Well, because it's when a relationship is more natural, so it's less, it's expressed in the little things more than in the big things. When a person is trying to muscle, you know, the halach is that it's the way of a man to go seek after his lost object. So a man goes after a woman. So what does he do? In order to try to win someone over, you have to do big things. You have to demonstrate. Great acts of show great acts of devotion to demonstrate concern and interest. But once you get really, really close, when a couple's living together, they're really, really close. So the true expression of their connectedness is through the little things. It's not through the hoo ha and the excitement and the big splashy shows of affection, but rather through the little things, anticipating, you know. All the little things, and because the relationship is much more natural, and less, the more foreign, the more strange someone is to you, the more the bigger the gap between you, the more you have to do great things in order to close the gap. The more you have to be prepared to make sacrifices and be prepared to make. But once you're there and you're connected already, and the connection is being felt and experienced, so it's much more calm and relaxed and express much more in the little things than in these big tremendous things. And that's the same idea that the Rebbe says. That when you're functioning from the essence of your neshama, when you're working from the different levels of the neshama, the higher you go. So you're looking for higher levels of godliness and higher levels of Torah, and you're going deeper into the Torah, and you're involved in greater and higher and loftier activities to the point of the highest, loftiest thing, which is Mesiris Nefesh. That means when you're functioning from the essence, it's not loftiness. It's your whole being. Every fiber of your being expresses your connectedness to Hashem. And therefore, it's expressed in the little things. You see to it that a Jew, has his physical needs met. You see to say a Maidani, to the little things that express your awareness of your total connectedness to Hashem.
At the same time, the big things should come easier. They should be like easy things, the big things.
I don't understand.
Like if you're going to give a whole lot of tzedakah to a cause, then it should be no doubt. There should be no doubt in mind. You should just be able to give.
In other words, as long as a person is still striving with himself and fighting with himself, exactly. It shows that it's not something that comes natural to him. Right? It's something that he himself would rather not do, and he's imposing it on himself, he's forcing it on himself. He's trying to transcend himself,
right.
Go beyond himself, which Dr. Rebbe says is one of the functions of tzedakah. If you look in the letters in the fourth section of Tanya, many of them discuss the fact that part of the main purpose, I mean, even in the first section also, that the whole point of tzedakah, what's unique about tzedakah is that you really have to go out of yourself in order to give tzedakah. But the Rebbe is saying that no, to really, really give tzedakah, you have to be yourself. If you would be your true self, which is that you are one with God, then giving is the most natural thing in the world. You have to break yourself to give.
Right.
You have to fight, you don't have to tear out pieces of yourself.
To get to that point, though, Dr. Rebbe says you should give tzedakah.
What?
You're saying that to get to that point, though, you were giving tzedakah by fighting yourself, and then that's how you get to the point.
Dr. Rebbe says the way a person gets to the point of Geula, he says the prerequisite of Geula is the giving of tzedakah. And Yisrael Negolin Ela B'Tzedakah. The Jews are not redeemed except with tzedakah. Why? The Alter Rebbe explains, because in order to go out of yourself, in order to connect to a higher reality, you have to go out of yourself. There's nothing that makes you go out of yourself more than giving away a piece of your life, which is stuck. But the ultimate is not that you should go out of yourself. The ultimate of going out of yourself is that you should connect to your real self. Once you connect to your real self, then you should be giving tzedakah, because it's the most natural thing in the world. It should be a joy and a pleasure. The giving of tzedakah should be a joy and a pleasure. You should enjoy it at least as much as and take a pleasure at least as much as spending on yourself, if not more. Because spending on yourself is lavda, is not even a mitzvah. And spending on somebody else is a mitzvah. So you should appreciate, enjoy, and take more pleasure in giving tzedakah than in spending on yourself.
So then you're going to know how much to give to certain things and how to divide it up and everything.
There's no question that when a person looks at giving tzedakah as an honor and a privilege and a joy and a delight, there's no question that. How he judges who and what to give to is going to be very different than the person who considers it a chore and a burden and a pain in the yeah.
But I mean, sometimes you might give it all away, and then you'll I don't know if you'll be left with nothing. You'll need something. You'll make a mistake because you like it so much.
He's talking about how much you give.
The thing is like this. The bottom line is the stories where the Rebbe told people to give without limits, and then the stories of people who are giving without limits, and the Rebbe said, tone it down. So which is it? I mean, there's plenty of places where the Rebbe says give without limits, without, the Rebbe
almost,
says...
In almost every sicha that talks about tzedakah, the Rebbe is
without any limitations. The Rebbe says, starting with ma'isa, or at least ma'isa and la'chaimesh, till the point of giving l'mailam to the magbo. But there are stories where the Rebbe told people tone it down. Even though I never saw that publicly in a sikha. I never saw a sikha where the Rebbe said don't give too much. I'd be interested in seeing it. But I do know of an individual, of at least one individual, I think two, where the Rebbe told them, take it easy.
Oh, God can pay back.
There were times that the Rebbe had said, there was one Fabrengo, the Rebbe said that all the Chassidim should empty it, if anyone who has a savings account should empty it out and bring it in. I'm told that only two people did it.
Yeah, I heard the same story.
But the fact is that once a person reaches the point where they're prepared to give everything away, and to be prepared to do it is you have to first experience doing it a couple of times before you like really get to the point where giving it all away comes natural to you. Once a person reaches that point, there's something that they're never going to tell that person. Say, "Listen, God wants you to keep some for yourself." In other words, in order for me to connect to the Avisha without any limits, without any limitations, without any, I have to be prepared to give everything away for him. But part of why the Avisha sends me money is because he wants to take care of me. So after I repeatedly give everything away for him, there comes a point where the Avisha turns around and says to me, "Hey, listen, guy, I'm asking you to spend a little on yourself too." So the sichas throughout the Rebbe is saying, you want to have, geula, you want to go out of your limitations, you want to go out of, you have to be able to go out of the whole issue of money. You have to be able to go out of, beyond the whole issue of what will be with me, what will be with my family, what will be with, to go out of the whole, beyond the whole issue of money, beyond the whole issue of self. Once you get to that point, right, now part of the job of the Rebbe is to tell the person who has already got to that point, I'm sending you these hashpahs of money, and you're taking it and giving it all away. I want you to keep some of it for yourself too. I want you to spend some of it on yourself. So that's the Rebbe could say. I don't have to make that cheshbon. I don't have to make that cheshbon that if you send me the money, he wants to want me to spend some of it on myself. That the Rebbe could tell me. My cheshbon, my avoda, in terms of, and it's, I mean, in Tanya, that the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya that you should consider yourself lower than everybody in than any person you encounter. So the Alter Rebbe says, because even if you see a person who's a sinner, because let's see, maybe he has a very powerful drives and urges, okay, and that's why he has a hard time. He needs to put up a tremendous fight with his Yetzer. You don't have those kind of, you don't have, for you it's not such a big fight. So therefore, that's why your performance is better than his. Dal Zareva says, but let's see, what about the things that it does take you a big fight? So Dal Zareva says, Kigain. Dal Zareva says, like, not in Sur Meira. Dal Zareva says, like, in Asay Toiv. Like, Tamitzis Asay, that for you to do them properly, like to daven properly, to the point that your soul is ready to go out, that you squeeze out every last. Right, Dr. Rebbe says, "That's it. Have you done that, or to make a bracha that way, or a bench that way?" Dr. Rebbe says, "And also, you're going lahafkir mameinei, ubrias gufay, and also to be mafkir, to make your money like it's ownerless, and your own health. Have you been in order to do the mitzvahs to give tzedakah lahafkir mameinei to give tzedakah ubrias gufay to learn Torah?" So Dr. Rebbe says that when I look at another person, that there is a certain ideal. Obviously, it's not ultimately, the Eibushim wants you to be healthy, and the Eibushim wants you to be, you need to be taken care of. But in order to reach that point, there is an element of, in order to see to it that the Yetzer Hara has no role in my life. One of the things I have to do in order to completely subdue my Yetzer Hara is to experience putting everything on the line. Putting your life on the line by a davening, putting your life on the line to say a bracha, to make a bracha with your whole, with every fiber of your being, and to put all your money on the line for tzedakah, and to put your health on the line for learning Torah, to put everything on the line. Once you're ready to do that, then we could turn around and tell you, listen, a Talmud Chacham, if you're able to learn, if you're going to give up your health, you're not in the long run, if you give up your health, you're not going to be able to learn properly. So, in the long run, you have to come up with a different program, which is not such a threat to health. But not because you care about your health more than the Torah, but because the Torah itself tells you to worry about your health.
When did the Rebbe say that about asking people to, if they have a savings account, to bring that?
I don't know exactly. I could ask. I know someone who was there. Which exactly Sikha was, I don't know.
Approximately which year?
It was in the early years. I mean, there was a certain chat. I mean, I heard. There was a chassid named Yechonon Gordon that he came to America in the wartime. There was a friend of his who came out of, I don't remember the name, but there was a friend of his from his old hometown that came out of Russia later, with the chassidim who came out in the 50s, and whatever. So the first time he had an opportunity, he came to America to see the Rebbe. And he bumped into Yechonon Gordon, and he said, Yechonon, I don't want to talk to you. She said, well, they hadn't seen each other for years. She says, I heard about you that you have a savings account. What kind of chassid? How could a person consider himself a chassid and have a savings account? That was what he said. I heard that you have a savings account. I can't even talk to you. You're not the old Yechonon that I know from Lubavitch. Because you have a savings account. And as well as he's saying, the whole must give you all, spent years giving your whole life for the Rebbe, right? That's what we spent years doing in Russia. Not only did we give our money away, but we gave everyone else's money away. We went into debt and went into this for the Rebbe. And now all of a sudden you come to America, you have a savings account. There's such a thing as putting something away for yourself. There's no such concept. How could you call yourself a chassid and have a savings account?
Putting for his wife and kids is not something.
But again, people had wives and kids. The Alter Rebbe wrote the Tanya for people who have wives and kids too.
But those were wives that wanted to go through this.
No, it was no. Forget. In those days, the wives and children screamed. The chiddush is that the Rebbe says now you have to inspire the wives and children to want to go through it. Today is different. Today the wives and children are masking if you treat them right. In those days, the wives and children screamed their head off. They made their husband's lives miserable. Today, they're masked. Today, they're masked. Today,
they're masked.
What about moms?
You have to learn Hasidus with the wives and children, and they're masked. No problem. Children Michal have no problem.
Rabbi Lomnitz can have people after him.
Children Michal have no problem with giving everything away. Okay, that was just one of the things you have to do, is learn from children. They can have one dime.
They don't know that there's no one to
have. What do you mean they don't know?
A dime, a dollar, a penny, a quarter.
But they know that it's money, and they know if they give it away, they want to have it. They just figure the next dollar will come from the same place that the last dollar went. In other words, they have betachin on their parents. So what the Rebbe is saying, that a child is more betachin on his parents than you have in the Eibush. And that's part of your problem. That means there's something wrong with you. That you have less betachin in the Eibush than your child has in his parents. Because the child, of course, his parent is you, and you know what you're worth, right? The Eibush is bleak will. The Eibush is infinite. The Eibush supplies everyone. So the fact is, if your child has more faith in you than you have in the Eibush, it means you have a serious problem. That's what you have to learn from the child. That's a very serious problem.
This idea that you just mentioned about reaching that level of, you know, Einod Mulvade through kind of at first, like breaking yourself or forcing yourself.
Right.
The question is, like, we spoke about this idea that the Rebbe says you can already be a tzaddik now, and in that sikha he talks about, because basically the Tanya has been realized already. So my question is, do you really have to go through that process now, or
in that sikha the Rebbe says you have to do what it says in Tanya in order to become a beinoni, and do this beinonis in order to be kid tzaddik.
Yeah.
And then ultimately the Rebbe says you can even reach tzaddik. You have to do this beinonis. You have to do that as beinonis. What's this beinonis of kid tzaddik? This blindness, how anything that's to completely reject and despise anything that is a distraction from godliness. That is this blindness. You have to go through that. The Rebbe say you can bypass that.
Okay.
But I'm saying, in other words, the breaking of the klipa still has to happen.
Yeah.
The breaking of the klipa still has to happen. You just don't have to go through the step by step. The general breaking of the klipa, which is, you know, breaking out of that bond, is something that you still have to do. You don't have to do the step by step of wrestling and struggling with the klipa every step of the way. You just go straight to the point where you break the whole thing and then you move on. That's the chiddush. The chiddush is that the step by step, the dealing, the being mavara, the various dargas of klipa, that's already been done. But breaking the essence of klipa, that's still something you have to do yourself. The etzem inyan of klipa, that there's a metzius that in your life, that there could be in your life something which is the opposite of God's will. That is something you have to break yourself. That's a musik.
Let's go for it.
Yeah. That's what that's the same one that I was talking about Saddam Hussein. That even though the Moshe Rabbeinu says that even though he could refine all the different levels of things, but there's one aspect of Mitzrayim that has to be broken. That has to be broken. That you can't And the Rebbe says the same thing in Avodas Hashem. The aspect of the actual Metzius of Ra, the actual Shaychus, the things that are not completely in line with God, that's something you have to break. And the way to break, so the way we break it is, we don't break it by fighting with ourselves. The way we break it is by going beyond it. By giving of ourselves to it. There is this tenuah that the Rebbe says of give it all away. Give yourself away.
So the breaking isn't really a fighting with it, in a way. It's not like you're having a fight with it. You're essentially saying there's no fight anymore.
No. The struggle, the step-by-step struggle, is not something you're supposed to go for. It's supposed to be
Chilariba.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
things that are responsibilities in life, there's things that are not. I mean, one point you're saying you're saying just float here, God's going to help me, like,
no responsibility in life.
And God sends him a helicopter.
There's no such thing as a responsibility in life.
He's going to be a pauper,
There's no such thing as a responsibility in life.
You're supposed to be making money so you can give tzedakah. Here you gave everything away. Let's say you have $1 million in your account. Okay, so the guy says after he hears this, you know, he takes his concept, says, oh, it's gula right now, according to whatever. I'm going to go to the bank, take $1 million, and I'll put it into tzedakah. Now he's there, and people come knocking at his door. Tomorrow morning he can't do business. God help me, and God says, hey, you know, that was a nice shtick you did. I'll put you a few points in your afterworld. And the guy's starving after that and doesn't make it through.
Oh, that depends. So what is it like this? If what the Rebbe is teaching is a lie, then that's true. Then God could say, ha ha, you're a sucker, you listen to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and now I'm going to screw you. But if what the Lubavitcher Rebbe is teaching is true, and this is what God wants, right? What does it mean it's truth? Truth means that it's what God wants. So is God going to turn around and tell somebody, you did what I want, and now I'm going to screw you?
God's done a lot of tricks in his life.
I'm not gonna argue with you, but I'm gonna tell you you have a screwed up God. I can't help you with that.
I got a God that I don't understand.
I'm telling you like this. You have two options.
This is the new theory, this is the new
I'm telling you you have two options. Yeah. You have two options. Okay? Right now there's no one else trying to even begin to explain God to you except the Lubavitcher Rebbe. You have two options. Either take the Lubavitcher Rebbe's version of God, which is what I'm presenting to you, and live with it. If you're not prepared to do that, I have nothing to offer you. What should I tell you? I don't know anything else. You're asking the wrong guy. If the Lubavitcher Rebbe is wrong, then we're all screwed. So, you know what I mean? Then, what should I tell you? What do you want me to do? What can I add to this? I can only tell you, this is the way this is the way God is presenting himself to us through the Rebbe. Okay? If it's a lie, I can't help you.
A guy gives, but after that, God's going to say, hey, you're not perfect.
What are you, again?
You're supposed to be reaching you. A guy gave it out of interest. He gave out of interest.
Again. What do you want from me?
He's giving and he's saying, he's waiting. Now God's giving. So he says, no, you didn't do.
What are you asking me? You're asking me what the Torah says, or you're asking me, does God... Or you're asking me what happens if God decides not to play by the rules? You want to know what the rules are? But you want to know what happens if God decides not to play by the rules?
Exactly.
Which are you asking me?
I don't know. Both of them, I guess.
If God decides to play not by the rules, then we're all screwed.
Why? There's a rule that he has to just because
he made the rule and he agreed that he's going to follow those rules. If he don't follow his own rules, then I can't. What should I tell you?
So what's
what could I help you with?
A guy gives.
So I want to ask you a question. Explain to me. So what are you going to do? You're going to take out an insurance policy against God.
Should be one.
What am I going to do? I'm going to open a savings account to take an insurance policy against God, just in case God is going to have an infamy. I have a savings account which he can't get his hands on. What's the eitzah?